Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, three sheriff deputies are found not guilty of felony murder over the 2017 tasing death of a disabled man. A federal program that helps people pay for heating is still missing funds, and the city of Atlanta takes the DEI out of its Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion.
The change is to emphasize how the city is reimagining how we're going to provide opportunities and services to our business community in the city.
Today is Friday, November 21st. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Criminal charges are likely over for three former sheriff's deputies in Middle Georgia's Washington County. After 8 years, a mistrial, and now a second partial mistrial, a jury yesterday acquitted the deputies of murder in the 2017 killing of Uri Martin. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
Rhett Scott, Michael Howell, and Lee Copeland were charged with murder after their attempts to detain Uri Martin by tasing him on a July day in 2017 ended in his death. The deputies are all white. Martin was black. The first trial 4 years ago ended in a hung jury. In the now-completed second trial, the jury deliberated for about 7 hours before telling the judge they were deadlocked on charges of involuntary manslaughter for Copeland and Scott. All three men were found not guilty on felony murder charges. Attorney and civil rights activist Francis Johnson has been with the Martin family through the trials and spoke to them after the verdict.
What I can say is that I'm extremely proud to have stood beside you, and we're not done.
Johnson says he will begin filing federal civil suits against the deputies this week. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Sandersville.
A federal program that helps people pay to heat their homes is still missing funds from delays caused by the government shutdown that ended on November 12th. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Money for LIHEAP, or the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, is funneled through the Georgia Department of Human Services, or DHS, to local community action agencies across the state. But Consuela Thompson, executive director of the Georgia Community Action Association, says they haven't been given federal funds for the upcoming winter season when thousands of people apply for help.
The community is thinking, okay, the government shutdown is over, so it's business as usual. But there is a recovery period. But until we receive the funds, we cannot put the money on the account.
DHS says LIHEAP funds should be released by the end of November. Community action agencies say they don't want to overpromise without confirmation. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
A panel of state lawmakers is recommending students who miss too much school temporarily lose their rights to drive or play sports. More students are missing a tenth or more of school each year. It's a problem that rapidly took off during the COVID-19 pandemic. A bipartisan state Senate committee voted unanimously yesterday in favor of several recommendations. The city of Atlanta has rebranded its Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion to the Office of One Atlanta. City Council approved the change on Monday without discussion. The ordinance also removes references to LGBTQ affairs from the office's function and duties. City Council member Michael J. Bond says the office's business promoting mission remains the same, and the change is more an evolution of emphasis.
The change is to emphasize how the city is reimagining how we're going to provide opportunities and services to our business community in the city.
A spokesperson for Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens says his office was, quote, looking into the change. Bond says Dickens often has stressed the city's past and present advancement of social change impacting all of the city's communities, and that this is no different.
There probably would have been continued steady progress in being more inclusive, but it would be dishonest to say that the situation in D.C. didn't hasten that evolution.
The move comes as cities and states respond to the Trump administration's push against DEI programs, often with the threat of losing federal funds. Atlanta's Fulton County is offering fresh produce at several senior centers this month. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports they're trying to help fill the remaining food gaps for SNAP recipients.
Fulton County is distributing 500 vouchers for seniors as part of their winter farmers market. Recipients get eggs, collard greens, sweet potatoes, and other fresh holiday staples, courtesy of Atlanta Harvest Farm. Normally, the markets are hosted by the state, but this time, the county stepped up with funding. Michael Kelly's a senior in Sandy Springs. He says the market has been a good experience.
I was thinking, wow, that's exciting. Somebody's looking out for the seniors now, you know, and plus with the holiday season here and coming up on us, so it felt very enriching and very favorable and exciting that they would take the time out to even think about someone else.
The final farmers markets will be on Monday at Bowden Senior Center and Tuesday at Harriet G. Darnell Senior Center. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport expects to serve more than 4 million travelers over a 13-day Thanksgiving travel period that began yesterday. The airport's forecast released today predicts the Monday after the holiday will be the busiest travel day and urges passengers to arrive early and use real-time parking and security information at ATL.com. Flight analytics company Cirium on Monday said uncertainty during the government shutdown significantly slowed holiday bookings at airports across the country. It said a sampling of data from travel agencies suggested holiday bookings at ATL were down about 8% compared to last year. Parts of southwest Georgia are now in exceptional drought. The U.S. Drought Monitor yesterday moved Decatur, Grady, Thomas, and Brooks counties into its highest drought category based on lack of rain. The Climate Prediction Center's three-month seasonal outlook, also released yesterday, suggests dry conditions might expand and get worse, a major concern for Georgia farmers. Georgia duck hunting season starts tomorrow and goes through November 30th. The Georgia Department of Natural Resources says there aren't any significant changes to season lengths or bag limits this year. And to hunt waterfowl in Georgia, you need a Georgia hunting license, a Georgia migratory bird license, and the federal duck stamp. There's a second season between December 6th and January 25th.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season two of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
High school football teams from across the state are in the middle of playoff season. But before stepping into the spotlight, many players stepped onto the field years earlier. GPB's Chase McGee reports on Georgia's feeder school programs.
Austin Reagans and Tony Palazzo coach a team of sixth graders with Cambridge Feeder Football. The squad also includes their sons, Caden Reagans and Braxton Palazzo. Their current team has been together since second grade, but Caden and Braxton have played together since they were four. Braxton says that long-term connection helps as they prepare for the championship Saturday against a team from Carrollton.
I've known half these kids for my whole entire life, so it feels awesome just playing with people I know and not just a bunch of random people.
The state's dozens of feeder teams are a part of the Georgia Middle School Athletic Association. The goal is to prepare players for high school and beyond. Tyler Jones coaches Cambridge's high school program. He says a majority of these players came from the feeder program, and it builds team chemistry both on and off the field.
And I know everybody talks about family and brotherhood and in football programs, but you know, when you spend so many hours practice, playing, you know, time off the field with these guys, you know, it just means a little bit more.
When they're old enough, Caden and Braxton plan to try out for Cambridge High School's varsity squad. The school is home to Craig Dandridge, a wide receiver and feeder football alum set to play at the University of Georgia. Craig moved to the Atlanta area around the third grade. He joined Cambridge's middle school feeder program and says the experience made the rest of his career possible.
I feel like our team was very connected because we've known each other. We went to school with each other. So it just made the program that much more special. And then seeing each other like transition into high school, and now we're all just playing together again. It brings us back to the old days, having some good memories.
But Coach Austin Reagan says it's about more than the competition.
It's really going to be cool when Coach Tony and I are sitting at the high school game with full gray tops, watching our kids play varsity football, and just think about how much fun it was when we coached them in feeder.
For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
For more, visit gpb.org/sports or listen to the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, we hope you will now. We're going to be back on Monday with all the latest news, and you won't want to miss it. And remember, we welcome your feedback. Send it to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.